Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's episode is Lost Cities, the lost city of Atlantis and El Dorado. And much to Kyle's chagrin, I am forcibly inserting the bottle city of Kandor into this category, which was a city on Krypton that Brainiac shrunk and stole before Krypton exploded. Kyle didn't want that included.
No, I didn't fight it. I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I think he just thinks I fought it. No, there's quite a few examples. If you look up Lost City on Wikipedia, there's a whole slew of them.
Because there's a lot that came that were lost during the Roman Empire, which I found fascinating.
They made a lot of cities, and they had pretty good record keeping.
But then they lost a bunch of them.
Yeah, well, they wrote a lot down.
Data science is hard.
So we just know that they existed. Where there's probably a lot more lost cities in the Americas that we'll never know about because we don't have written record of it.
It's true.
So, but in the real world, there's tons of lost cities, that have been found. Many
Atlantis,
of them.
Atlantis,
Troy. Troy is a great example of a famous city that was lost for a long time. It took forever to find it.
Yeah.
To find the actual, we found the location. We know for sure. We thought it was this general vicinity, but we tracked it down. And that's sometimes what lost city comes down to is well, we know it's that way. It's over in there. It's in this general direction. And we hope we can find it. And maybe we will.
The Lost City of Hamunaptra from The Mummy, 1999.
Oh.
That one just came screaming out of left field.
That's screaming out of the sky like the mummy. Remember at the end when they're in the plane and
the sand wall.
Yeah, yes. The sand wall. Anyway, in Bekfik, Numenor is a great example of a lost city of ancient civilization that is this shining beacon of progress that,
falls to its own hubris.
Yeah. Yeah. In Lovecraft there's a whole bunch of lost cities. They love them. Yeah. I think an example.
How do you pronounce the city that? How do you? I feel like everyone pronounces Cthulhu's home differently. How do you pronounce it?
I don't remember the name of it.
So. Rileh, Ryleh. I think there's an apostrophe in there.
I've
heard other people say Rileh, Rileh. It's
Lovecraftian.
I know
nonsense.
That's why it's fun.
Yeah, you literally just say whatever you want, and no one can really complain.
It's like a glottal stop in there somewhere, probably Rileh.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, why not? Let's stick with that.
In Song of Ice and Fire, Valyria is technically a lost city because it was, a city that was
lost.
Yeah, it was lost in the it was lost in the more metaphorical way, I guess, rather than the physical way.
So forgive me, I haven't brushed up on my Game of Thrones lore in a little while, but I thought Valyria was destroyed.
It's destroyed.
But by the dragons or the dragon.
It's the
there
doom
was a
of
war
Valyria.
Of the dragons.
I believe
there was something like that.
It's the doom of Valyria.
Yeah.
It's what's referred to. It's not the dragons. If I recall, it is a mystery as to exactly what happened at Valyria.
Oh.
But they all died. They're all gone. And that's probably why the Targaryens are the only people who made it from Valyria because they had already left to go to Westeros. Thus, they become they are the dragon lords because the only people who know how to use dragons because everybody else died in Valyria and no one knows
what
happened.
It's not like you won, you just didn't lose.
Yeah. We don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it so much more interesting and compelling as an idea.
Yeah.
And there might be more in the lore that I don't know, but we're gonna say who cares.
I'm gonna assume we're gonna operate with that as our assumptive base for the moment and move forward.
We'll move forward
accordingly. Tell me your menu words for this episode.
Forget about it.
Lovely.
What's yours?
Lost in the woods.
Well, why don't you go first? Get lost in the woods. It's a beautiful day.
Cool. I'm about to drop some major spoilers for the new movie on Apple Plus, The Gorge. So if anyone is interested in seeing that movie and cares about spoilers, you can stop listening in 3, 2.
Or skip ahead by 3 minutes. 2 minutes? 30 seconds? I don't know how long you're going to take to spoil it, but skip ahead.
Well, the whole idea is sort of a spoiler.
Skip ahead to the halfway point from here.
In the movie The Gorge, the two people guarding The Gorge accidentally fall into The Gorge and discover that a genetic chemical virus was released by the government down there. It's sci-fi bullshit. It's pretty spectacular. The chemical bonded, mutated the DNA so that all creatures and things down there started physically mimicking each other. So spiders took on the shape of human skulls, and people became... Yeah. People started getting basically turning into spider webs, and then there were also tree people.
Why do you do this to me?
Because I hate you, Trebek.
I was about to say, I think you hate me.
Anyway, I thought this was actually a super cool idea.
It's fucking metal.
It's great. It's the only good part about the movie. Like, the scenes shot down there are really fucking cool, actually. It was designed and directed by Scott Derrickson, who also did Doctor Strange, if that gives you a sense of the kind of style they've got. It was really cool. And so I wanted to take that idea and adopt it for a lost city, which is a pretty standard city in the middle of an arboreal world. And through some sort of magic gone wrong, the city seems to be destroyed. There is a cataclysmic type event. You don't know. It is an event. People think, oh, a bomb went off, because when they went back to the forest to try and find the city, they could not find the city anymore. It seemingly wiped off the map as if it had never existed. That's important, because people would have expected to find debris and ruins and dead bodies and skeletons, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Instead, what happened was the city itself was actually merged with the plant and wildlife of the surrounding forest.
Oh.
And so became like the main center of Square, and all of the buildings became trees of different sizes.
Yeah.
The people all became some variant of tree people, woodland beast people, probably even some rock or worm people, right? The city, it is the ultimate merger of nature and society, and the city still very much exists because people are still sort of fueled by the spell's magic. They live much longer lives, so maybe the city's been missing or lost for 50 something years, but more importantly, people have also lost the ability to communicate, so they can't explain to other people what happened. People think that these monsters and tree people just came in and killed the city itself and killed all of the people in it. So they're hunting these people now, instead of realizing that, oh, these are the people that we loved in this city.
Yeah.
These were our neighbors.
Okay. Just to understand, so that was all the plot of the Gorge, or that was the plot of the Gorge merged with your...
That was the plot of... So the plot of the Gorge was the first part, I should have said.
Yeah, yeah.
When the plot ended. But my idea is, when I start talking about magic, that's when my idea kicks in.
The idea that it's like, that they've become merged with the nature, and that they are now being hunted.
Correct.
And that is tragic.
Yeah.
And really good. I like it. The idea that the city still, the legacy of it exists, and nobody realizes what it is, and they're crushing it.
Yep.
Because they think it's the bad guy.
Correct. And so they've got, because I wanted to go with something, I feel like with monsters and aliens, there's always that element of, oh, it's a misunderstood.
Yeah, yeah.
And
this is genuinely misunderstood.
This is genuinely misunderstood, but I wanted it to be something obviously not alien. I did still want there to be a society, and I also wanted there to be a arboreal society that was distinctly unelvish. I feel like so many tree cities that we see and deal with are so influenced by Tolkien and Lothlorien.
And because they're held up as this idyllic place.
Right.
They, rather than making them a bit more of a horror show. And we had
the woods is, like, being lost in the woods is terrifying. It is scary. Yeah.
And we did come up with our own tree city way back in the early days that was pretty cool and wasn't...
Absolutely. I feel like tree cities either go one of two ways. They either go Lothlorien and Elvish, or they go Forest Moon Vendor. Where it's just like tree houses connected with rope bridges and things like this. This is more probably closer to Capitol buildings, center city halls turned into giant trees that maybe are hollow on the inside. And so there's an entire city built into the tree that people can go in and out of. They have their own ways of getting in there, but I want it to feel much more organic and grown and not a city built into the trees.
Yeah. So, Groot.
Yeah. Forgot about Groot.
Yeah, I feel like Groot feels like a resident of this place.
Yeah, very, very much like Groot. Yeah. Yeah. And the Ents too, by extension.
But maybe a bit more nimble in the way. Like, yes. Because like the Ents feel like they are old growth forests, you know, vibes versus distorted, manipulated, kind of, you know.
Well, and maybe the Ents started as this, as residents of this city. And then over time, people started thinking, oh, these are the cursed woods and the tree spirits that haunt it. But over time, because the magic is still keeping them alive, they have grown tall. The people have grown tall and strong.
Yeah, yeah.
And become Ents. And so it's this, people think they're tree spirits, and it turns out they're not tree spirits. It's just the legend that has taken on a life of its own over time.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, it's like, I kind of like also the idea that, you know, you're at the edge of the woods in, you know, and there's the legend of, oh, there's a lost city somewhere in these woods. The woods grew over it, and we don't know where the ruins are. And you're like, no, the woods are the ruin.
Yeah.
That's
it.
That is the
you're
city.
In the ruins. This is it.
But people don't recognize that. People would have no concept of that being a thing.
No.
But if this effect, is it ongoing? So say you go there and you, as a person in the modern world, like go to where the city is and try to build a metal building. Does it also turn back to, does it turn to a tree? Do you turn into plants and form with nature over time? Or is it, is this like a one time event?
I think over time.
Okay.
I think it's sort of like a radiation thing. Oh. Again, taking that
from
from the movie where like, yeah, if you're adventuring, the movie does that. Sorry. Yeah. Spoilers. The movie does that. And spoilers, but the
I like how the sub spoiler within the 15-20 minute long spoiler section.
Go fuck yourself. The movie does that where they distinctly say it is an exposure based.
Yeah,
it is an exposure based thing. So like if you're an adventuring party and you're using this for a game, you can have them rest there and nothing bad will happen there to them. But if they stay for weeks, months, years, then yeah, they're gonna start becoming.
So then, okay.
I think.
I
don't know. I don't know that I care.
Fair enough. But I like the direction. I'm like, this is more of a maybe just a sub idea.
Yeah.
The idea of the radiation element. Because then what if it is radiation at the edge of the forest, you have lower exposure to that same radiation. So you would have a, you know, pun intended, like a radial level of this growth and these manipulated nature elements so that people would honestly be able to pinpoint it. They'd probably be able to suss out, oh, as we get further and further in the woods, it becomes more and more distorted and things here more natural, more intense. If we leave something here, it becomes a branch, you know, over time. And maybe people can figure that out over time. And that could be a separate idea entirely, but I like the idea that there is a radiation of this natural like
thing,
terraforming kind of magic.
It would be a cool backstory for a druid.
Yeah,
that's how did you discover druidic magic? Well, I kind of just was born near this really fucked up forest.
Maybe there's a whole circle of druids who just they live in this spot
there, sure.
And they actively choose to be exposed to this radiative nature, and they know the line is don't go too close and you become a tree, but if you stay over here, you can still remain a human.
Yeah. I could see that. That'd be kind of fun. It's sort of Pan's Labyrinth meets Beauty and the Beast.
Interesting.
Like it's the vibe, the terrifying vibes of Pan's Labyrinth and the end. Yeah. And that kind of weird fucked up Guillermo del Toro visuals. But with the mythology, the mythology and the magic of Beauty and the Beast.
And songs?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a musical forest. Got it.
Every forest is musical, you urbanite son of a bitch.
True.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been in a forest more recently than you have.
Have you?
I took a day off last week just to go in the forest. I bird all the time. I think it's a cool idea. I think there's a lot of material in here, and I think you can unpack it, and you can just take different pieces of it, but then the core idea of the forest taking over and turning the city into forest,
right?
And that then the city's lost and no one really understands that it is the woods. Mm-hmm. Is kind of fun that yeah. it's it feels almost more harmless than other versions of this, unless it becomes people are like, oh, this bastardized forest has, you know, we need to kill it because it took over the city. You know, you can do it with what you want.
I mean, the point that I was sort of going for is that it is simultaneously as harmless and beautiful, dangerous and frightening as nature is at the same time.
That's a good button. All right. Well, we'll move on to my idea.
I forgot.
You did. Good. That's exactly what I need you to do. So I'll recap it for you. So I
forgot.
I forgot my idea. Shit. I am obsessed with the idea, and I couldn't get out of my head, about a city that made sure the world forgot about it. It intentionally removed itself from the memory and knowledge of the people around them.
Why, Kyle?
Two different versions of this. One.
Uno.
This is a city that is fearing an expanding empire, and they want to conceal themselves so that they do not get overtaken. Pretty straightforward, pretty understandable. That's pretty rational.
Sure.
Take two.
Dos.
This is a city founded by an exiled king from a kingdom. And that king knows that if that kingdom knows that he's alive, they'll kill him. Diving into lots of French Revolution stuff lately for no reason. And a quote out of it was that no virtuous republic can let a king live. They are inherently a traitor to the cause. And so if that king is allowed to live, then they need to kill him. So the king has made sure that this is a secret city in a way. Those are two different versions of the same story.
I like the second one better.
Okay. Over time, so this city is an isolationist city by nature. So it's already kind of kept in the dark, but then something is going wrong in the city. I'm going to go with it's probably a disease or some sort of like non-violent, but like a, you know, an issue that needs help, or they have a famine, they have no food, whatever. And they are in dire trouble, but then they're trying to reach out for help and no one knows that they exist. So no one, and they're so removed and so remote that no one can get to them. And when they do send out a message, nobody knows where to go, because they don't know where the place is. So they have all these notes of the city asking for help and asking people to send trade. But the people of the city don't quite realize that literally no one knows that they exist. So they don't even, as far as they can tell, this isn't real. And so no one ever goes to help them.
And they
die.
This is, and become a dead city.
Dope. Yes.
This is very cool. I love it anytime that there is a magic... Anytime that there's a magical gaze put on people,
yeah,
to make them forget,
yeah,
because the moment of that magic kicking in is always so much fun. Like in Baldur's Gate 3, there's the quest with the hags when the hag has put a hex on people to make them forget anything related to the little girl that she kidnapped.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the mother is talking and talking to the soldiers and like, my daughter, she's like, we're going to go find your, she trails off and she's like, why are you here? Yeah. Why did you come here again? And this mother's losing her mind. I love that. Or in, there have been other, I forget where it came from, but there was one where there were books written about something that had been like erased from history or erased from reality. And anytime the main character would get to a page with that, anything related to that person, the letters would physically start jumbling and morphing and warping so that they were completely incomprehensible.
Yeah.
The special effects are, and the vibes of it are very fun.
Yeah. That's a really interesting point. And
like it's fun to think through how would that magic of erasure manifest.
And so like a lot of my thinking around this idea is predicated more on the first version, the one where it's that they are erasing their memory from other people, but you could honestly do it where like the city, you know, I don't know how to, you know, we don't need to get bogged down in specifics, but
no, it's just
doing
the
second version where the people don't necessarily know the place exists, so they don't have to erase their memory very much, but they might have some sort of gaius. If somebody sees the city, that they like, it jumbles their brain of what they saw.
Yeah.
If somebody, because it would be hard to hide the city forever. It's yeah. not, you know, especially if it's, you know, still like on the edge of this kingdom, you know, people go up the mountain and go, hey, is that a city there? And then, and then they go back down the mountain. They're like, huh, I don't know. What a weird hike.
And it could and be just something.
They forget what they saw.
It could be something as simple as they are and harmless as they are suddenly overcome with the need to realize that they have somewhere urgent to be. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they leave the city. And then as they're walking away, they forget.
Oh, that's interesting. The people of the city don't remember where the city is.
I think that, and I think also, but anyone that accidentally stumbles upon the city.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's say you and I are out for a hike. We find the city. We suddenly are like, oh my God, we left the fucking stove on.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to turn back. And then we turn back and we've immediately forgotten.
Okay, I like that, but I want to make it where instead, so they don't even realize the power of this gaius that they have, because then they have asked, like they have gone and brought emissaries to their city to try to talk to them and to try to ask for aid and ask for trade or whatever. And when those emissaries leave, the gaius kicks in and they forget anything that just happened.
Yeah. So they are trapped by their protection.
Their own protection has cursed them because no one can remember that they talked to them. But there's like, I love that there's all this written documentation elsewhere in the world about this place, about these trade negotiations, but no one has any record of any trade happening. But of, you know, oh, these people came to the city or came to us and asked for help. We sent in emissaries and then the emissaries came back and said it was nothing.
Right.
And we never did anything. And then just like, well, what happened? And just this like continual.
And we sent more and we to explore the area and nothing was found.
Yeah.
We don't know who's playing this ongoing prank on us. But
yeah, yeah. We've just given up.
Every 6 months we are plagued by.
Now imagine you deploy this in a RPG game.
Yeah.
And you go, like your players find about this lost city. They go to it and they find the horrors and the ruin and loot and all this stuff, and they explore, and then they leave, and then you as the DM being like, so last session, and you go to the session
before
they went to the city.
Yeah, that's great.
And you just skip and you never acknowledge ever again that they went to this place.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's the false Hydra's story. It's how do you fuck with your character, with the players so significantly that they like their memory isn't even viable anymore.
Yeah.
And the city's a great way to pull
very
that
fun.
Off.
I dig it.
Yeah.
Giddy up.
That's kind of it.
Perfect. Well, what are you going to microwave for me?
A lost city that actually isn't all that lost. It's like a mythical lost city, but they founded their current city on top of it. And they don't quite recognize it. There's all these stories of like
French catacomb style.
Yeah, I was gonna say like King Arthur's Camelot, and they're like, there's this castle. It's like, no, it's London. We're already there.
Yeah.
You know, like that idea. And yeah. I think that's fascinating. And they find the ruin. Like the ruins are beneath the city, but no one's digging it, so they don't actually see.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's yours?
City eaten by a giant spirit whale that then fucked off back to the spirit world, taking the city with it, but it still exists in the belly of the whale.
Jonah?
Pretty much.
Cool. All right. Well, what stuck for you?
I love the memory loss. I think that's really fun. I
what memory loss?
I love the tree people. I love the fusion, yeah. Like the finding a way to do a forest city that is not Endor or Lothlorien.
Yeah.
Where it's much more organic and terrifying and beautiful at the same time. Like really getting at that nature vibe. I think those are probably the two things is the, you know, we always talk about things merging with nature and it's like, oh, so we're going to have wood buildings and animal people. And it's like, we can be a little bit more fucked up than that. Like get a little rougher with it. It's not all pretty.
Yeah. Check out China Mayville, whatever.
Are you having a stroke?
The book is right there. He's a fantastic author. And
he's a fantastic Arthur.
He's a fantastic author. And he does so much fucked up people work.
Yeah.
He creates the most demented, insane types of creatures that are the characters. And I think he really hits on some of this,
yeah,
this beautiful horror that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which I think that vibe also stuck for me of the forest people that are, there's a hauntedness to this place,
yeah,
that shouldn't be, but is, and gives strong Chernobyl vibes.
Yeah, and, very much so.
And I think Chernobyl vibes is fucking incredible. I think that really sticks for me. And then I think it's the idea that what we got at with my idea of you leave the place and you forget that it was there.
Yeah.
And because I think it's a pretty neat solution to the problem, which, because I was like, oh, here's the core mechanic, but I don't really know much beyond that. And I think it's, that's where it really works, is having a reason why they're stuck and why they will die.
Yeah.
It isn't like they are actually trying to get the help. They've changed. Like that exiled king is no longer even alive. So no one cares anymore.
Matter.
They're just like, oh, we're a city that's been in hiding forever. We were founded by the guy who ran away from you guys 300 years ago, but that doesn't matter anymore. We just need help. And they say, oh yeah, okay, we'll help. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
And they never come back.
It's real monkey's paw shit.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got all the monkey's paw.
Well, that's what stuck for us.
Let us know what stuck for you. Email's in the show notes.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.